Hey, what's up? It's your boy, Bobby Sapphire, and I am here with the rest of the KTOD for episode 18 of the KTOD Radio Podcast. Justin, you look tired. Looks like you just woke up at 6:45 on a dang Sunday. What's up?
I was just sleeping. I was dreaming of the podcast, so now I'm doing it again.
I love that.
Dreams do come true.
Yeah, nice, Steve.
I don't know if you used to do this, Maddie, but I used to still dream that I was collecting tolls. So I would get home from collecting tolls all night and then still collect tolls in my dreams.
Oh, yeah. Dude, when you do like a repetitive thing like that, it just gets ingrained.
All right. And Stevie Getz doing his Professor Numpty impression yesterday at the 1K.
Oh, you really
I've never been so happy about an O2 drop in my life. I just did not want to be there.
Well, I'm not gonna lie. I appreciate you showing up.
Still have nightmares about the restaurant on like a weekly basis.
Yeah,
dude. Oh, the ticket machine. I used to hear the ticket machine from my chef days. Oh my goodness.
Like, I can
that
still
thing
hear
does
it.
Not go away. Yeah.
We're off to a great start. Just talking about our
dreams. It's the Dreamcast. So we're going to talk about...
Dude, how are we at 18? Jesus.
18. Oh, we've been doing this for 36 weeks.
Work. The grind of content creation is not for the weak.
Yeah. Shout out to my job. I'm taking a mental health day Tuesday just to do podcast stuff. I've never had to do that before for a side business. So that's the real side hustle is here. So we're going to talk about PQ season starts this weekend. This is it. I got a PQ on Saturday, a week, and so many 1K's events. We have so many events to cover. There's still some going on right now. There's a stream of the UK second day of their double 1K weekend. Like, it's crazy, man. The tournaments are
This was a
hot.
Big weekend.
This is a huge weekend.
Hot spot. Yeah. Like, lots of 1Ks, lots of,
oh,
like...
yeah. Wait till you see all the results. I mean, you've seen them because you've seen our result channel in Discord. But man, it's crazy how many events there were. And then also, like, we were just talking about it last night, but like, there's like three more 1Ks scheduled for New England. So, and then we've got word about the date, like the potential date of PQ, a couple PQs in New England. So like, it's happening. Like, this is everything people have been complaining about is just because they were impatient, and not unduly so. Like, you can be impatient, but this is happening. It's like, it's here.
Yeah, we're going to roll right from these 1Ks into like set 2 PKs into like pre-release, you know, some 1Ks scattered in. And then next thing you know, you're going to blink and it's going to be set 3 PQs. And then we're off to the races. So,
yeah. And you can bang us here at the KTOD YouTube, for the next 36 episodes. Check us out, episode 72, when we're covering the regional. The Galactic Championship. But yeah, we'll be covering all the PQs. Our Discord is so big that we have people basically going to every PQ, and we'll be able to get data and results and lists, hopefully, and really sort of ramp up what we do to cover the results of those events. So follow us on
YouTube.
Follow us on the YouTube.
Yeah, and like a lot of people, like if you're watching, you gotta sub. Like, we need to know that you're liking what's going on. Like, you gotta get in there. You gotta click those buttons for us. Show us what you like. Show us what you got.
Show us it's all worthwhile. All the 5:15 wake ups.
Yeah. Being in the doghouse.
Taking days. Sick days.
Yeah.
Sick days is crazy. You really think
the man I'll give you my checklist
my
of stuff I've done.
Which is the actual side hustle now?
Dude.
Right.
A lot which of people. People are like, dude, could you actually quit your job? But like, no. Teaching is the side hustle. Can't quit. All right, so I want to shout out our boy Eric Oakley, who is in town from Pensacola. He is a professional disc golf player and was here for the Pro Tour event at Maple Hill in Leicester. And he hurt his back, so he had to WD the event. And he ended up coming down to the 1K and taking the whole thing down, which was pretty insane. He's playing Han ECL. He and I played some Han ECL games. We grinded some playtesting at Mezcal. Earlier in the week, maybe Tuesday, I think we hung out and like
Tuesday.
Had some margaritas and got some games. And it was pretty sick.
Did you get a spicy margarita?
I did not get a Moy Caliente margarita. I did not. I got a Herradura Reposado margarita. Steve, I hope that's okay with you. Hope that passes the test.
I got a Modelo.
Yep.
With a lime.
Yep. Maddie was drinking. They were drinking Modelos.
Any limes in the bathroom sinks?
Oh boy, I'll go there.
Not that I saw.
That was an impressive feat.
So
how did that even happen?
I don't know.
I don't know. We were really drunk. It's the most drunk I've ever been. It's the night that made me stop drinking, like to get drunk. So anyway, not that anyone really wants to hear about that. They're here to hear about the 1K.
Everybody wants to hear about that.
I was going to take Sabine to the 1K, but there ended up being so many Sabines that I was like, I don't really want to fight a sea of, like, I want to play Sabine when it's going to be a control weekend. I think like the last 1K that I said, like, you know, that Justin did really well at with the Sabine. I was like, oh yeah, I wish I knew Sabine. So the last few weeks I've been training on Sabine. But I did swerve back to blue the night before, just because I didn't want to battle Sabine with Sabine. I want to battle Sabines with blue Ray. So,
right. It's like a know your enemy thing too. You know what I mean? Like, yep. It's never bad to like take a week to learn another deck just to fight it better. So it's like,
yeah, that's a great point. You.
For sure.
And being agile is important. Like being able to jump back to Ray, understand that Sabine wasn't what you wanted to do. Another thing with Sabine that sort of hit it down a notch, we can talk about all the people that did well with Sabine, but the boss blue, that control matchup isn't as easy as.
Yeah, there's an event that we can specifically talk about that on when we get there. You'll see very clearly. So I went 4-1, came in top 8. I guess I came in 5th. I didn't really think about that. My loss in Swiss was to Han Yellow, and then I told my wife I was going to drop the top 8 because everyone split cash. I got outvoted 7-1. I felt really bad about being the only person to vote no split. So I acquiesced and did the split. But then I was like, okay, I'm coming home. And then I just played top 8 for no real reason. I was so taxed and tired. And I ended up like playing a really good game 2 and punting game 3. And I'm just like, why am I here? I said I was going home. I'm somehow playing. I just like completely threw, like, what a waste of time, but it wasn't a waste of time. I learned actually a lot about the Han Yellow matchup. Both my losses were to Han Yellow. So I'm happy to get the 2 reps there and be able to think about that going into PQ weekend next weekend. But sorry, Justin, what were you going to say?
No, it sounds like you projected the aura of someone who just is addicted to playing high stakes matches. Cause you no sir, the split, and then the split still happened and you're like, I need it more. Let me play one more round. Yeah.
Right. And I told her I was leaving, so I couldn't have played all the way to the top 8. I just played that extra round for no reason.
The addiction is real.
Yeah.
I need the feels. I need it. Nicolas Cage and Leaving Las Vegas, except it's Star Wars Unlimited cards.
Yeah. So not my finest moment as a husband or a card player, but I'm really happy for Arkalal and Eric for taking
nice
it
job.
Down. And the event had he does custom stitched mats. So he did the Sabine art there. Full screen with the champion of the 1K. I hope I like
that's
I really
from
hope
EMA too. So 3 Discorders.
Yeah, actually. So the Kira 30 is from the Discord. Yep. And then
was
Alex,
it Teddy or somebody else?
It was Teddy. Yeah. No. Teddy played Kira. Teddy wasn't Teddy. The Alex Blandon was one of the Han Yellows, so I think it was like 5 out of the 8 were from the Discord.
Take over.
Nice. Yeah, Yame just didn't have people's gamer names there. And then one other thing is, like, we'll see this in another slide, but Fennec Red making the finals and making the top 4 in a Florida 1K. I reached out to Yame to get the Fennec deck. I don't know if, like, you know, we were talking about, like, what the hell, Fennec deck? Justin and I were trying to throw it together. We were like, ooh, Principled Outlaw. I wonder if that's in there. And then I was able to get the list. So shout out to, I think it's Ben Hendart, maybe?
I told Yame to get them in the Discord. So
yeah,
hopefully we can get them chatting about it. But I actually, like, played a practice game with this deck this morning. And it does some cool things. I think the ability to ambush later in the game, like, kind of like how timely is a problem. Like, yeah, you can't do the record thing, but, like, Principled Outlaw, like eating somebody and tapping someone down, like there's a lot of like cool 2-for-1s that you can kind of like accomplish.
Yeah, it's not going to ECL for value late in the game, right? Like these things aren't going to kill the units that come out there late, but like
they finish stuff off and
yeah, but
if you if you kill a guy and then tap their Han or whatever, like you tap their big unit.
So I know he beat Yame in top 8, who was on Sabine Green, and I can see like. I've been losing with Sabine Green to Yellow Sabine, and I can see how, like, you know, this is a similar thing. Like, if they go Millennium Falcon, Cartel Turncoat, you might not be able to catch back up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and think about, like, for the Sabine mirror match where you're talking about, like, the space lane with, like, when A-Wing,
you know, whoever plays an A-Wing first, or maybe someone even wastes an ECL to kill an A-Wing. And this has A-Wing, Red 3, and Millennium Falcon, so you pretty much shut down space completely.
Yeah, they can't. Yeah, I guess
Tarkentown to counter an ECL play.
And then you take over
the space lane, exactly.
And then you just keep shooting stuff on the ground. While you attack my first reaction with from the Sabine side is like, play more Sundaris, probably be okay against this. Like, Sabine is so nimble at reacting to things.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time this weekend working on ways for Sabine to be a little tighter against Bossk. So, I think this, but it's cool. I mean, it is also, you got like Kira, like ambushing something and looking at their hand at the same time. Right. It's kind of neat. That's a really nice
play. He has two Hans and a Krayt Dragon in the board, which people will not see coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Krayt's a little wild.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Maybe that should be a spark.
And then shout out to Late Night Gaming and Rebel Trader, who we talked about on the last podcast. They teamed up to stream the Misty Mountain 1K Shadows number 2. And then shout out to Spags, one of our Patreon subscribers, who shouted out Justin, Chrono, and Yakko for all the hard work they do in the Sabine Green Threads. So we wanted to shout him out.
Is Spags a Worcester boy? Or just...
I doubt it.
Dude, we got to get him a sticker. We got to get this guy a Spags sticker.
Oh, we should get him a Spags t-shirt. He probably has no idea what Spags is. I'm sure most people don't.
Worcester thing.
Yeah. So we see Sabine Green here. The finals split the money, but played it out. And so this is Sabine Green that beat a Bossk Blue. And I think he gives a recap in the Discord. Not 100%
sure. Yeah, he was hyped. Yeah. It was cool to see it. I was away during like dinner time or later evening. Then I got on super late and saw all these posts about people being really appreciative of the Sabine Green stuff. I guess he was like really specific in his praise. Like, oh, the Boba Green matchup. I navigated it through like Justin and Chrono giving some tips there. So that was cool and humbling to see that people are, you know, really, really utilizing that channel. You can see things here, like the 1R2 and like the fighters, the extra 3-drops kind of like leaning in there. So if you look at the conversation we actually had in Sabine Green this week was like, you can play more units, a few more units, especially at 3, timely, or a couple more big units. And he opted for the 2. And I said, you do 2 of those things. And that was a big conversation we had in the Sabine Green channel. He opted for the 2 timelies and the more ground units and doesn't have the Bright Hope of Delphi there.
Yeah, and actually he and he cut a metal ceremony too to create an extra slot.
To create an extra spot, yeah.
Right, because you guys kind of identified that you have 5 spots to figure out what you want to do with. You want to do extra 3s, you want to do Adelphi's, you want to do Bright Hopes, you want to do Timelies. And
he needed 4 the extra slot. Units. Mm-hmm. And then the 2 Timelies is 6 cards, so you need 1 slot and got rid of a metal, which I don't think is that crazy.
Yeah, not that crazy.
It's not that crazy. It definitely, you know, some of those double metal games get out of hand, but some of the single metal games get out of hand. Right. So shout out to Spags, and you can see Matt here. His name is Scott Pagliaroni, so that's where he got Spag from.
Yeah, I just, you know, had to shout out the OG Walmart.
so many events here, but we're gonna I tried to organize them as best I could to like have similar talking points, but we'll see. Like in Tulsa, there were 2 Boba Blues and 2 Han Blues in the top 4. One of our subs, or Marco, took it down. But you see the 2 Boba Blue controls. And then in Oregon, there were a Bossk ECL and a Boba Green that were both taken out. Oh, the Bossk punted lethal loops.
Both took out. Both beat Sabine's.
Yeah, but the Sabine's win there. And then,
I'm looking at the other one. Sorry.
Yeah, and then so the one on the right in San Diego, is the opposite. Bossk Blue and Boba Yellow beat the 2 Sabine. So we had one. I mean, like it says, the Bossk punted lethal in Oregon, but like we do see like that. This is kind of the meta I predicted. Like a lot of control and a lot of Sabine, and you see like a couple Bobas and Bossks who like fed off the Sabines, pushing their way through. Really healthy meta, but. It seemed like the week of lots of Sabines, and best thing to do would be to counter Sabines. And now, now what? You know, is it?
Yeah, where does it go?
Yeah, and this is just 3 of these. Yeah, you say
Bossk ECL is like a good counter to Sabine, and then Bossk Blue, I was saying, is like maybe not quite as easy as people initially thought for Sabine, and Bossk can actually take a lot of those games. So I think probably you're seeing a lot of like sort of individual mental counterplay of people tightening up, like, oh, I'm Bossk. I want to tighten up my Sabine matchup a little bit, or I just think it's actually good and I just know the sequencing. I lost a couple times this week where, like, the opponent never flipped their Bossk until, like, just when that actually mattered, like, not
right, in, when they can get a double.
Yeah, they just didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't like I was holding it back with, like, an ECL pro record type thing. It was just, like, you know, it waited till I was able to claim, and then it just did 4 more damage. And then it played, like, a make an opening on the unit, and it just, like, it had so many cards. The boss decks can fuel really well. Like, they can have so many cards, and then they've got a leader that's just ready to rock at a moment's notice. Like, not like a Vader. Like, Blue-Red Vader is probably, like, the biggest comparison to that deck from, like, set one would be in those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But they had to wait for their leader, and, like, they've got, you just got the 4/6 just kind of waiting in the wings.
Whenever you want it. Also, like, there's a thing about, and I know, like, Mike Joe was really good at, like, the late action stuff in Destiny, but, like, because of the ping action, like, sometimes you can kind of blow out a player with the late action and just solitaring after they're kind of done. If they're curving out, you can wait with a ping or a little attack or something small, and then when they've kind of done what they've needed to do, like, yeah, you lose initiative, but if you have enough actions after, you can just mop everything up, and the board state looks completely different from when they claimed, you know what I mean? It's like almost a new game, and they're like, oh, snap.
Justin and I were talking about this last night, because when I was playing Blandon in the in Swiss yesterday, he kind of just aggroed me with Rogue Operatives game one, but game two, he was slow, and he was like, his DJ plays were not for great value, I didn't feel, but he had Bodhi before he played tech every game. He hit all three techs in game two. And I would take like 3-4 actions, and then I would have to claim, and he would take like 7 actions because he had a 15 card hand, and he would just, you know, the game took really long, and I would never want to play that deck in that fashion because it was so taxing, and there's just so much room. I mean, I guess there's not that much room for error because you can just do whatever value plays you can afford, but, like, man, it was taking
more decisions
forever.
The more
more decisions you have to refuel and stuff, but that's exactly what I thought of. It was like a really interesting Dirtle deck because he was taking so many more actions than me. I was so far ahead, I didn't think there was any way I could lose that game, but then when we got into the really late part of the game and he had like 12-13 resources, he was just like playing 5 cards a turn, and then he was attacking with like 8 things at the end, so it just got completely out of hand.
I was gonna say, I think the biggest thing I've learned over playing yesterday and even a little this week is I want to be playing a more proactive deck than I currently am. It feels like while the Ray is good and even some of those boss blues are great, but like I want to be the aggressor or initiating something because the games are so long sometimes, and it's such a grind, and I think trying to stay in that lane where you're being the one doing more things, and like, I mean, I joke about it, but how many times have I seen Justin walking around tournaments? Like, having that mental freshness too is definitely a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and playing like a clean it's a good point, like just doing things, even, and you, it doesn't mean you can't play control. Like, you can still play these control decks and play, like, you know, it's the Raid Plays, Broids, like, and stuff like that.
My second game versus Mono Green Emperor, like, we were halfway through the game, and there was only, like, 10 minutes left, and I just, like, picked up my cards. I was like, there's no way we're going to finish in time.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, and it's taxing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's why those, like, mid-rangey control decks that can flip the switch fast are more, are like, the better way to go, like, just because you get to just turn it on and get more a little proactive the second you kind of get a foothold in the game. Two things I wanted to bring up really quick for the next slide. One, with like all this talk about how the meta changes and you have to make all these like kind of week to week decisions, that's why we started that Thursday podcast for the podcast too. That's the exact need that we found within this game of like, yeah, we do this every 2 weeks and we do the YouTube and obviously we're chatting in Discord, but like bringing up these little nuances, the only way you can do that is through the, you know, the discussion in the pod. So like, that's why we did it. And I think it's people are loving it and it's really serving a good purpose. So
yeah, it's growing every week.
I would check it out. I think it's like some of the best stuff we do.
People are crushing on it. Like, shout out. I mean, I don't have the names right here, but a lot of people who participated we're seeing in like the I top eighted because I think they're really excited to share out too that they're doing well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we got one runner on the board, Ora Makaru is part of
that's true.
The higher tier, so he listens to the pod and he's part of the competitive.
Yeah,
tier.
We have a couple more of those too. And then I wanted to shout out Rodney Stubbs, Chris Schutz, I think it's how it's pronounced. He wrote a Red Ray deck guide for us that we posted on our Patreon. If you're not a subscriber, you could buy it. And if you're a subscriber, you get it included. So you can kind of check out those options. He split in top four. I love how like the message got cut off though. He's like, I would have played out top four, but my wife was mega pissed that I was playing. I had to go home.
I don't know exactly what happened.
Yeah, so, we've all been there, brother. Yep.
So he and Craw, one of our other subs, split in the top four. And then, you know, pretty standard top eight, but a Luke Green did sneak into the top four there.
That's cool.
Yeah, I looked at the list. Yeah, it was pretty standard, but like, I mean, not standard, but like it had everything. It had like typical blue-green stuff, but I think it had three Luke Sabres, which is pretty crazy.
Was Kira ECL or 30?
I would imagine it would be 30 because he wrote like Sabine ECL earlier.
Right.
So.
Right. But yeah, Chris's guide is sick. He's been an awesome member of our community and he's been crushing with that deck. So it's definitely an underrated deck in the meta and in a pretty good spot, I think.
Yeah,
and yeah, you can see some like crooked numbers there too. So like, it's always great to see guides on things that have like, you know, two Cassians and two of the the restore one ship. I forget the name.
Tons of two of
really nice. List, like every time I see two of in a deck, I'm like, let me find out more.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I like it. It's like, all right, I do this a lot too, where it's like third copies in the board, and like, yeah, I want it, but not a lot of matchups, but it's important. And you know, I go up to the full amount when I have to.
When you need it. Yeah.
Four events in Australia so far this weekend.
Whoa.
So
blimey.
Blimey.
Crikey.
Nice.
I think blimey is not good. Australia, but whatever.
No, I like it all. Crikey.
Crikey.
Crikey
at my
mistake. Wait, don't they say crikey in like Austin Powers?
I don't think so. I think they say
I also like
He's like, crikey, I lost my mojo. Isn't that what it is? Isn't Craig? I don't know.
I bet it's blimey. But
guys, look, this is the content you want, baby.
So we've got
early morning pods.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Still dreaming. We're going to wake
up. So we've got Han Green winning one. It doesn't look like, or maybe the 24 person showdown in Brisbane, Bobby Yellow, like they didn't do a top cut. Got a Sabine Green 5-0, but Bosque ECL beating Sabine in the final, which is pretty typical. And then another one, no top cut, Bosque Blue at the top. So like pretty, like everything's just pretty healthy. Like we're not seeing
Han Green making a little bit of a comeback. Just sort of Han One Green, seeing that a little more. The 1K that you played in, Mike, and
Quenka ran it there. Yep.
Feels like it's been popping up.
Steve's been liking it.
Steve
always ahead of
I regret not playing it yesterday, but that is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, given your matchup, I mean, for Ray, Pelp Green's just the absolute worst matchup. Like, you're almost better off. You might honestly be better off scooping and having lunch or something.
Yeah.
That seems awful.
I mean, that's tournament life. Like, sometimes
For sure. I meant more, though, that if I knew I was going to O2, I would have played something.
Some more,
more fun.
I gotcha.
Yeah, well, shout out to all the
CAD T-Towns and stuff like that. Yeah,
sharing this out. Yeah, the CAD T-Town, a lot of Boba Yellow, like three Boba Yellows here and a Boba T-Town. That's pretty interesting.
I'd say people forget about and then blue slaps you. Like Boba Yellow, if you forget it exists, you can get in a real.
I've been thinking a little bit about Mono Blue Villain. I might have to like get that out of my system one day this week.
Yeah, do it. Let's test it.
Just like get those Vigis for four, but
get it on the felt.
Kira, get it on the felt.
I had a Kira mono blue deck that I was working on like around Gen Con time. I can shoot it to you and we can kind of update it.
It's one of those lists that like I build and then I go like, why am I even doing this? But I do have some spicy tech that we'll see. We'll see that maybe if it will, crack it open.
Shout out to Kirjan too. He's been good in that our Cad Bane aggression thread was kind of, you know, it's got ebbs and flows to it, but he's been a good contributor. And
nice.
Yeah, I love when I like resub to a deck thread. I'm like, ooh, let me see what's going on in this one. And then like weeks have passed and there's so many comments to catch up on. The deck threads is really, I have this like welcome message I send to people in the Discord and it's like, you got to check out the deck threads. It's all about the deck threads. Like, what decks do you like?
Jumped in the end of it and just talking about who he's playing.
Yeah. So many of them have champions too, just like people who are really into their deck and they can answer questions and onboard people. It's like probably my favorite thing about the Discord.
I mean, it's people's favorite thing. Like, I do a lot of like, just kind of polling of like random subs just to see how they're enjoying things, if we can make things better. And like everyone says like the deck threads are the best thing. And that's awesome. And so that led us to the guides and more fun stuff coming.
Yeah, and it's a little, Cat Red got a very exciting spoiler this week too. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about it a little bit in Good Bad Broken. So a couple European top store showdown top eights, and like we know from talking on this podcast and the meta and stuff that like the European metas tend to be a little control heavy. It doesn't really get super reflected in all these top eights, but I'm interested in the fact that Green Palp won both of these, which is pretty wild. And we see like Blue Ray made the finals versus Palp Green, went 0-2, not shocked. Games lasted so long, he managed to play a copy of Endless Legends Game 2 to end the game in style. So it's pretty hot. And yeah, he beat Han to Blue in the other event. But yeah.
If you're going to go late, there ain't probably not a better card unless you're playing against like Super Laser Blast or something.
Yeah. But yeah, good to see the K3 with the Blu-ray. Take it all the way to the finals. Almost take it down. We got a couple more. We got one in top eight for a 1K in Florida. Actually, they split it top. I think it cut to top four is what I kind of deciphered from Reflex's message. And then Crispy, who is Reflex's boy, we hung out with him in Florida and at Gen Con, was running the Fennec T-Town also. But yeah, a bunch of guys from our Discord. We have a good Florida contingent, so a lot of those
guys. Yeah, I wanted to shout out Crispy. He sent me like a really freaking nice message after about like some of the content I've been doing on the side channel. Dude, like, he's such a good guy, and like the fact that like just to get those messages of like appreciation and like, dude, it's all you, man. You did the work. Like, we just try to help, but like, yeah, that was sick to see.
A lot of people were asking about you yesterday, wondering where you were, and saying that how much they like the side channel.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, man, bachelor party. I wanted to come, but I had obligations as running the slot machine, baby.
But a lot of Boba Yellow though here. We got. You know, two Boba Yellow in the top four in Florida, and then Boba Jetta beats Vader Green in the finals, which is like really wild, like super wild. I wonder what the reasoning that would be there to go Jetta over the 30 point. Like, I can't really think of one, because you're like, it doesn't necessarily help you win the race. You're not generally trading with Boba Yellow unless it's just like a completely different kind of deck.
I was gonna say maybe he's first actioning jetting and then and then ambushing in, so he's got more ambush stuff, so it's like, yeah, it's two actions to kill a guy, but like then my guys are healthier and then I can fight.
Maybe he saves it for like the Boba flip turn to, like,
that's what the Kylo Jetta did to me at Gen Con. There was a guy who he won a mat and we played it, I think, like 5-1 or something, like, or 5-4-1. And he just turned two jetted, and then like he dumped like two things on turn one, so he was able to kill one for free. So like a stormtrooper basically lived.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't ECLing, or I hadn't ECLed. You know, I could, I suppose. I think I did actually, but basically he was able to use it to like kill a unit on the, almost like Tarkin Town, because you get like, you don't do the base damage, but your turn one kills their turn one for free if you're in the same lane. So I think that's probably what
it's doing. And we've seen that be good in a lot of different ways. What's up, Steve?
It's the interesting thing too is like your extra action by using the base is kind of minimized, because it's not like they can attack with that unit. So like you're not really giving up that much value by having to take an extra action too, because it has minus four attack. It's not like they can dome the base or trade into something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Yeah,
it's probably
it's cool with that. What's the unit?
Gives you new play lines, right?
What's the 3-1?
Cloud Rider.
Oh, Cloud Rider.
That's cool with Cloud Rider.
Yeah, so that like Cloud Rider four lom stuff like that, where you can just like keep your ambush guy very healthy.
Yeah, you're right. It's really good with four lom, I'm sure, to keep four lom on the board. It's...
And then Zuckus can get in right. there.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, well,
you could do. You could end up with Boba. You could, if you did like a bunch of twos, you could go like turn one, you know, whatever, like just random two drop, but turn two like Cloud Rider and a two drop.
Yeah,
and have the trade happen, like not trade, like a kill it, and you'll have three units to their one.
You get really far ahead on board. Like it's like, yeah, it's like a different play style, like, yeah, right, than like the creating like attack your face and turn. beat the race. Also, like one of the ways to kill Boba is like keep a four power guy that can like surprise strike in some of these matchups. So yeah, like
right,
you can
right.
actually like counter there, like taking out your Boba play.
That's and really then cool.
You can suit
shout out to that guy.
Yeah, dude. See, that's the fun of this. Like, we're in these early stages. Like, there's a lot of innovation that can happen. So,
right, I'm a cool. Boba Jedi main now.
Hey.
All right. Oh, it's time for Good, Bad, Broken.
What's that card, Steve? Oh,
now there are two of them. We've seen this before in the Phantom Menace, one of our
what
favorite
a shout
cards
out.
In Star Wars CCG.
Yeah.
Like, truly really cool. One of my favorite cards. Seven yes. Destiny. Like, you just anytime you play Maul, you just throw one, two, three, five, seven of these in your deck and you're happy. But
Mike, I really fine. Random like Easter egg thing, and this I don't just my memory working in a weird way that it always has. But spoiler season for the Theed Palace expansion set, which is where this came out. Of course on expansion set, excuse me. Decipher wrote an article about this card and said, like, the very powerful Phantom Menace. Like, how will players use the very powerful Phantom Ooh. Menace in their, like, article that came out in, like, July of 2000.
Yeah. Tipping their cap a little bit.
What? So pretty cool that they, like, mentioned this card. Now we've got a spoiler season. I think both of these cards are broken.
Yeah, both these cards. I think this card is absolutely broken. Yeah. If you control exactly one unit, play a non-vehicle unit from your hand that shares a trait with the unit you control. It costs five less. Like, yeah, it's going to be so good with a leader flip. It's just going to be so good in so many ways. There's just going to be so many ways to make this insane.
It's sick. It's going to be cool. Like, do you, like right now, like the big one is like Underworld, right?
Yeah, that's like, what I'm saying.
There's so many good Underworld options, but then like next set, it's like, you know, Separatists and stuff like that. Like, it's just always gonna get
it's a trick better. Which is really cool and
it's
like
a trick
Jabba.
So
yeah,
Jabba does Jabba. it works with CAD. You know, this is an interesting way to get like Forlom and Zuckus out in the same turn in Boba Fett. They just gave this thing all the stuff. It's just the fact that it's a trick is like totally crazy to me, but
I think this
card's broken.
I think, you know, it'll be interesting in CAD. The one thing that I think it's really, really interesting in is Boba Green being able to play Maul on the Boba flip turn. That to me just seems absolutely nutty because you can go Jabba gets this and then play Maul on the Boba flip turn for super cheap and like get extra resources and then just dump and it makes like one thing with Boba is like when you waylay early, like you're sort of in like a weird spot sometimes where you like don't have that many units, but now you've got this if you only control exactly one unit, so like that's pretty great with Jabba too, who's like one of the hardest people to move, which is a nice, you know, line there too. So like pretty cool card.
That's a good point of like you sometimes if you take the early waylay line, you're like, shit, I have all these cards in my hand. I can't get them out efficiently. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, okay, waylay into Jabba, into Maul off this. And then you do the flip turn and you get all the resource. Like, because this is going to cost two now, right, with Jabba?
Yeah, that's
because it's a trick. So you get it. Then it costs two. And then you get those. You're going to get those two back over the activations. Like, that's disgusting.
And we're getting so many neutral left. Like Force and so many neutral Jedi and stuff. So like,
yep, Jedi.
That's gonna be interesting.
Because
Maul would cost four if Jabba's out with this.
Yeah,
right. Two and two. That's insane.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Another and card like, that this works really well with is obviously Jabba trick stuff, but McClunky to actually get like go down to one unit if you sort of accidentally have too many units.
Yeah,
you end up McClunkying something. Playing this, then playing like say you McClunky like a Salacious Crumb or something like that, and you replay the Salacious Crumb, like that's this card is nasty.
You can, You can stick all the maul damage on Jabba too.
Yeah, which is
because he's got that big ass.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ooh, we're building a deck live, boys. Mike brought up a good point about force too, because like yellow, blue, hero right now until like set three drops is like the most like force, you know, like users you can kind of accomplish. And like one of the problems with those that color scheme right now is like you don't have as many like ambush or like ways to kind of like get in there and affect the board. But like now with force, you know, you can play an early Luke and kind of like get the ball rolling.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah,
and we've seen neutral. The fact that this is a villain card is wild.
Yeah, we've seen neutral force and Jedi in all the colors except yellow, but that doesn't mean that there's not one on the way.
If there was ever a villain card that should have been a villain card, it's this card.
I'm glad they kept it though, because like this is gonna
it opens
deck
up
building is gonna get sick. But yeah, it's funny. It's just like
Early Luke is cool. I think yellow is getting some really really cool cards that are like not so like I don't know how to say this. Like a lot of like the yellow like villain cards have been great up to this point. I mean they've been good in general. Like this are good in Han. Like the R2 is really good. Then you've got this, and it's like this doesn't say like bounce. You know what I mean? It's a different type. It doesn't say bounce or tap. It's a different type of yellow card, but it's really really powerful. I think one of the better cards we've seen so far. I also love that
legendary too. Yeah, it's a legendary, and like I think we often get excited about cunning because all the cunning cards seem so good because of the trait cunning. It's like meant to be something tricky or smart. So like. I think they just always appear elevated, even when they don't always see play in the meta. But I'm excited about this one.
Yeah, I could keep going about the combos you can do. Cards, like,
yeah, I would imagine that like so crazy. Lots of people, including myself, are excited to like do a solo video on it. All right, Geonosis Patrol Fighter. It's one of my favorite ships from Star Wars X-Wing. It got me my Archduke status at the last World Championship when I ran two of these things. But this is a 5-cost 3-2 vehicle fighter. Yeah, it is space. Okay, I was like, is that ground? I hate when like the spaceships are in a ground picture. It kind of like breaks my brain. But it's got exploit 2, which means it can come out for as cheaply as 1. And when played, return a non-leader unit that costs 3 or less to its owner's hand. So it's a it's a potentially 1-cost bounce 3-2 ship.
Yep.
I think it's good. Pretty good.
Yeah, I think
I like it a lot.
I think it's good. I think it's like really great for his cost. And, you know, if you have anything that gets a when defeated effect or something you don't need anymore, and the bounce is so valuable. But what I really like about these exploit cards that do something when they get played is that no amount of mana is safe, right? Like if you have 1 mana up and they're playing yellow and they have a couple things out, like could they just do this?
It's fine, like without the exploit text. Like it's probably very playable without the exploit text. Like,
yeah,
just as a 5-drop,
just
like
as a 5-drop.
Boba. Yeah, like a space. It's just another bouncer with
it's,
like. A
yeah, ball. Exactly. Yeah. It's another. It's another cantina bouncer, right?
Yeah, I think it's solid. Definitely,
I think the added value too with the come to play triggers on the within the exploit theme is their stats themselves might not be that great. So you get the bonus of the coming to play, and then you can just sack it.
Yeah, you might want to exploit it again later too. Yeah,
that's interesting. Exploit stuff getting exploited later on. That's cool.
Swing for 3, then sack it to something better or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, here's one that's been around for a while, but Justin mentioned that we forgot to talk about it. So I wanted to throw this out there. R2, when played, discard a card from your hand. If you do, search the top 3. of your deck and draw a card. 2/4, 2-drop Republic Droid. What do you guys think about this? I think it's flipping.
Yeah, I think probably insanely broken. I think like top 3 card ever printed in this game up to this point. I think this card is completely absurd. It changes the way that decks should be built. Like playing this on turn 1, like the hardest decision in the game is like what to resource. On the first turn, and then it actually becomes very easy afterwards because you're drawing 2 cards and like you have all the choices from your opening hand, which you maybe thought about, like one of them being your second resource, and you get 2 additional things there. Like he makes that more complicated because you're gonna have to ditch one of those 4 that you kept, but then you get to just see like 3 more cards, and then it's just gonna line up. Like you're gonna curve out with this guy so far. He's a 2/4 for 1, which is like for the first turn, which is so good in terms of stats. Like he doesn't necessarily die. It's hard to like tempo out.
You can think about him in like so many different decks. Like you can think about him in a blue deck and jamming a lightsaber and having a 5/7 on him. Mm-hmm. You can think about him being like in Sabine and just curving out perfectly with like exactly what you want to do. He works actually really well with that new Plow Koon to like always have the ambush 6/6 on 5, like
right.
Sort of another angle there. He's insane. He works with like graveyard synergies because the card goes to your graveyard. Yep. He's nutty.
Yeah, and like he's a Republic, so like if you want to go green, yellow, you have the pump guy. Already like the 1/4s were good, and like just that extra, you know, that extra attack is gonna be really relevant when upgrading him or pumping him in some way to fight for the board. And it's like card advantage and information and
yeah,
if like you're playing Yellow Hero, he's going in your deck in 3. And he's that's, nuts. To me, broken.
All right, we get General Grievous, who's been pretty polarizing, which is shocking to me for a freaking 3-cost 4/4 villain blue. You know, I think that it's a legendary, but the text is basically blank. If you ignore the aspect penalty on each lightsaber upgrade you play on this unit, and like there might be more lightsabers, but so far, like, I don't know, upgrades are pretty precarious to play. And then on attack, if he has 4 or more lightsaber upgrades attached to him, defeat 4 enemy units. Like, that's magical Christmas land, but I don't know, like, let's see where the game goes before it could be like an insane Twin Sun strategy. Like,
dude, he's broken. He's broken. Like, he is a separatist official in a land of Dooku, so you can play him for 1 resource. You can pull him off Vader. Oh, yeah, if there's ever a good, like, say you want to be a Gar boy, like, he gets to wear the upgrade, like, taking aspect penalty out. There's so many deck building options. Like, yeah, he doesn't come into play and do anything, but, like, we're looking in the context of this game, and in the context of the game, he has insane traits. We just released Dooku. He's a good stat stick. Like, if a deck is going in every blue villain deck in 3s, that's like the first sign that something is on the cusp.
Yeah, and before Steve reminded me about Good Bad Broken, I had this in R2 on the same slide, because the thing that I wanted to kind of highlight here is like really, really broken cards are like the best cheap cards, like, because they can go in every deck. Yeah, every deck needs the best low cost cards in their colors, and like R2 we just being and R2 and Grievous being like just absolute, they're gonna just be absolute staples in their colors because they are far and away the best of what we have, and it's not particularly close.
It's a really great card. It's cool that it's like a card that's recognizable. Like, it's, you know, General Grievous, like a main character from the Clone Wars and the little bit in the movies too, and like, they got the cool flavor text. Like, okay, this game's pretty widely played. It might not happen at like the championship of a PQ, but like at some point, someone's going to put 4 lightsabers on the sky. It's going to be a really cool moment for that, you know, playing community. And they're going to have like a ball, and they're going to, a little kid's going to do it, or some people are going to have like some adult beverages and do it, like at a equivalent of like a F&M type of thing.
Right.
And they're going to be like high fiving each other and take a picture. If anybody does that in our Discord, make sure you tag us.
Yeah.
Like, get witnesses and stuff like that. But then at the same time, like 4/4 is an interesting stat line too, because everyone's been doing like the 3/5 sort of evolution happened last set. Mm-hmm. And 4/4 is interesting because like it actually lines up well against a 3/5, because you get to attack for 4, they get to attack for 3, and neither player gets to trade. Yep. So like, it like 3/3 is not good, obviously, against a 3/5 in a land of 3/5 worlds, and like 2/4 is not good against 3/5s, and then they don't trade, but you're just down. So like 4/4 actually is like above all of these 3/5s because you're pushing. Like, imagine they go 3/5, you go 4/4. Well, what happens next turn? Like, you're going to put more damage in. He's also works really well with Childston about just putting like an aggressive card underneath Childston and then just attacking. So we've seen it like, Tada has been playing like the Cad Blue, and there's been like the Hondo's another deck.
Hondo
there,
is a good one.
Yeah. Where you're like putting a Childston out, but you're actually like, you want like a really aggressive stat line early with like your, like you just want to attack, right? You're not playing like 3 Avengers and 3 Super Laser Blasts. You're playing like a more aggressive variation in that. He's perfect there.
Yeah, I can see him being really, really good with Krennic too. Like ECL, like kills something off the board really early, and then it's a 5/4, with some damage. It's just like, it's great. I mean, give me, like I said, this thing could literally just be blank, and I'd still be like, oh crap, what a legendary. Like, they made a blank legendary. This is hot.
Yeah.
I think we're I think he changes Gar Saxon quite a bit. I think Gar Saxon needed like this card. And like you can basically put there's so many upgrades cheap on him. So being able to go up to 5 attack and probably more based upon like the upgrade, but like jetpack on this guy is a 7/4 the turn with a shield, and then he's still a 7/4 that stays out. Like that seems nuts too. So Gar Yellow I think is going to be really good with him.
Yeah, the only tweak I would have made is like he should still get the ability of like the lightsabers that say if this is a force unit. Like he should still be able to use the fallen lightsaber and ping everybody or something, or get
It'd be cool if he had like something with the lightsaber that was a little easier to do. Like if there's not enough time, he has like to ignore the aspect penalty. I would have loved for him to actually like steal a lightsaber from like opponent's graveyard.
That's what I was thinking.
Well, they did that. They did make that card. It's a zero cost event.
Right.
Yeah,
that one's cool. They split it up.
All right, Captain Rex, he's a 5 cost. Pay 2 if a friendly unit attacks this phase, create a clone trooper token. And then when he flips, he creates a clone trooper token. Each other friendly unit, a trooper unit gets +0/+1. That means when he flips, he is he's creating 4 attack and 9 HP of units because he's a 2/6 and he makes a 2/3. That cost is obviously expensive, but, you know, I think that even more than the cost, the thing that you have to have a unit attack is the thing that bothers me because you can't use it as a catch-up mechanic in any way, which is really what you want your leader to be.
I was going to be a fence sitter on this one, but I'm just going to say bad. And the reason I'm going to say bad is in like the two reasons. One, in the hierarchy of like leaders, right? This is like the highest cost and has like you said, like you have to attack, so it has a condition too. So like. Yeah, like, great. As the game goes later, like, this is going to be more of a thing. But we don't have, unless you're playing double green, like, green leaders are at a tough spot because they can't, like, play 2 colors and play ECL. So, like, you know what I mean? It's like, you can't play the best base, in my opinion, especially for, like, this type of leader that comes out on 5 and wants to, like, kind of fight for the board. And then, like, you have such a baked-in condition around him, like, I just think he's going to fall behind on like the value town of life.
Yeah. The only personally. Thing I'll say is like, you know, I imagine this is supposed to be like a super go wide clone strategy. And then, you know, if you are able to put out a ton of clones, which I don't think we've seen anything that lets us do that. But like, let's say there is a world where these decks can very easily make tons of clones. You'll always have enough clones to make sure you can attack with one and replenish whatever one you lost. So like there is that aspect to it.
So I think this guy's very, very good. I'm going to be the counter guy here.
Nice.
I think the what's the name of the leader before they come out? Is there a naming convention there? Or just like...
It's just the leader, and then the flip side is the leader unit.
Yeah, unit.
So basically, here's where I think with this... I think ignore that text. Yes, I agree with you that it's bad. Here's what I think. I think that he comes out on 5. He comes out at a really pretty early spot. I mean, he's not Sabine, but he comes out on 5. He makes a guy. Like, he always does that thing. He always makes... 2/3, which always turns on coordinate. It would like I'm thinking like Plo Koon because you have the 2 guys, so your extra card is like always going to happen. So like imagine flipping him, you have a unit out, you have you know R2. I'm really kind of high on this guy with like the R2 build that we were talking about. I think this is the leader to do that in. Ooh. You're able to play Plo Koon, and then you've got him behind it. You've got R2 behind it. You've got your 3 drop if he lived, like the Yularen. I think was the hero Yularen's really good. Yeah. And then you're able to play. You also have another 2 drop. And then you've got like this sort of weird anthem. So it is sort of like a go wide thing. And you've got the other Captain Rex unit that makes now 2 more 2/3s. And he would then be a 4/5. Mm-hmm. So you are able to basically do the thing where you have like a ton of actions and you have a ton of units. I think people are sleeping a little bit just on the 2/2 body a bit. Especially if you have cards like you could play bounce spells. Think about the card we just saw, like the exploit ship thing. You could play that for 1 and then play like, you know, a Kira unit or something like that and just like really kind of get go pretty wide in that way. So I don't think I agree. I think that the front side is really hard to pull off. I mean, you're attacking with something. But to that point, like you theoretically, in conjunction with R2, and this is maybe speaking more to like the brokenness of R2, you could play R2 like really trying to dig for Plo Koon, and then attack with R2 in turn two, and then just like get a clone, like just get a random clone trooper out, and then like attack. You're probably gonna get another one, so you're just always gonna have coordinate. Like Plo Koon is really insane if you have it, like if you know you're gonna have it, right?
Yeah,
like just having a 6/6 ambush always is like your turn. It's like always having like the Poe ACL thing too. Like we have the same concept there, so I think it's pretty good. Now again, we're living in a world of like very dominant decks with like Sabines and now Bosks and Kiras and Rays and Bobas. So like, is it going to be good enough to like get into that world? Not necessarily, but I think it's the first leader that like makes a unit, which is cool.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited about the full art hyper and that.
Oh, the art's going to be so sick.
Oh, the showcase on this one is going to be really savage. Yeah.
All right, real quick, because we're getting pretty long here, but Malevolence, yep. Do you guys think this is good, bad, or broken? 9 cost, 7/7, Separatist Vehicle, Capital Ship, but it's Explore 4, Restore 2, and then the part that's really interesting is given enemy unit -4/-0 for the phase, and it can't attack for the phase.
Can't attack as
well. Which is like a really interesting way to brick a leader, which, you know, mm-hmm. is increasingly difficult to do.
So this would come out, what's like the cheapest? What, it would come out for 1 if you did all 4?
Yep.
So,
yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I think it's pretty.
I think all the exploit good. Cards are going to be either bad or broken, depending on how
right
is. And we really can't figure that out until we get on the felt and start playing some games.
But the when plays are cool because you get to like, all right, how badly do I need this effect? You know what I mean? Yeah. If you put a lightsaber on Yoda, like I'm going to sack 2 things or whatever to make sure I can bounce it with the Geonosis fighter, and like. I guess if we're in a race and I just need to stop your attack that you just like cunninged your Boba Fett or something, like being able to brick that for 1, even if it's the cost of the whole board, like that's crazy.
Yeah. I think it's really
awkwardly
good.
Redundant text there. Like
the fact that it can't attack too.
Okay, now if you're, unless you're
well, you can do it to like an Avenger or something too, to like, you know.
Yeah.
But like, kinda why, but then like, just have the it can't attack. Like the
well, you could like send guys into something.
I guess you could like send guys into it. I guess maybe it's like a theme thing. Like maybe that's what the manevolence.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, yeah, it's doing the it's yeah it yeah more I don't know what it's called thing. But yeah,
dude, it's that hyper is gonna look insane.
Ionization really or whatever. Out. Yeah,
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean the color scheme like blue, and then also like you mentioned the Geonosis ships are no. What's the 2/1 for green?
They're kind of all spread out, which is really interesting because it'll be. Curious to see which colorways are actually the best to play exploit because it feels like they're spread out across. Yeah,
that's a good point.
Multiple different.
I like blue green right now just because there's multiple guys that like die and then replace themselves, like the wartime official and the 2/1 ship. So like, and then
you keep
just start straight villain. You have that 3/3. So like right there, you have a bunch of guys that like. Replace himself or add a guy and replace himself.
What's the original OG 1/1 that draws a card? That's like a good exploit. That'll be played more.
Yeah, V-Wing. Patrol V-Wing.
Yeah, and I like Black 4, right? It's like perfect for this. Like Inferno. Always sacking your... Yeah, Inferno 4, sorry. Like always sacking your Inferno 4 to get this for 7. And I think like, this is a card that like Kira will really like. Also Restore and Villain.
Kira and Dooku.
Really yeah, that's good. It could be. Yeah, that's cool.
I like it.
All right. So I had been posting how many subscribers we had, but someone sent us this or someone found it this week.
I did.
Yeah, Maddie found it. 148th.
I am someone.
Well, I wasn't wrong. 148th in games for us for Patreon, but we're in the top 2,000 Patreon creators.
Way.
In, it's kind of crazy. On Patreon total, which is insane. And that I thought would be a more fun way to track the paid members. Wild. Thing. Also, more fun to track if we ever collect. No, I don't. I have no idea.
We were like 146 in games. Some game people have been popping off.
Oh, no.
I am sure that where we are, it's probably fluctuating all the time.
Oh, yeah. Every second. Yeah. But it's definitely cool.
We're almost at 6K YouTube subscribers, too. Yeah. So, yeah, all in all,
hit that button. Tell your friends. Sub.
Cool 10 months.
250,000 creators.
Or 9 months.
Wow.
250,000?
So there's 250,000 Patrons that at least somebody makes a dollar on. There's like, you know, 8 million that just exist. But yeah, 250 that like someone at least makes a pet, like makes something on.
Yeah, because you need an account just to subscribe. So like, it, who knows if it
we need to get to the top 1,000. So you guys all need to start signing up.
All right, we should all subscribe to ourselves. All right,
we could have a cool goal, but we can talk about that.
All right. Easy fan building. What do we all do for a living? Mike's a teacher, so I know that helps. Ian, who asked the question, is a security engineer. But yeah, I teach high school English and make content for card games.
You flip those things. yeah, I was a math teacher for 19 years. I recently got out. I work at an educational nonprofit. I don't know if it definitely necessarily ties in. I do think there's a work ethic component that all four of us had that none of us wants like a free buck thrown our way, right? Like we all want to work for what we got. We want to put our nose to the grindstone when it comes to games and content creation too, of just, you know, not looking for handouts and just like put our hard hats on. So like that's kind of where I'm at with it. The way approach I took with teaching and also coaching basketball. I've coached basketball for the 19 years. We won 2 state championships in Massachusetts. The team that I've been a part of with head coach, that's one of my best friends, and it's always like outwork the competition. Like there's not like a secret sauce. Like there's content creation for basketball now. It's all these trainers doing like YouTube videos of like this dribble combination is going to put you at the top. And it's like, no, what's going to put you at the top is waking up early, getting like 300 jump shots in.
Yep.
And you're not going to be able to like warp speed with like some signing up for a trainer and like they give you something that you just like didn't actually earn. So like the concept of like just putting your nose to the grindstone and like, you know, chipping away. Steve's had that with like running a restaurant. Maddie, you've like had a bunch of different careers, but like you were a line cook at one point. I'm sure like that was like work ethic there. So like to me, that's like there is a tie-in. So it's a great question from
Buy a bag of potatoes, practice all your knife cuts, and then make a soup with the potatoes. Right. That was like the way to get better through just like hard work.
I'm currently selling wine for a living. I've kind of done a whole smorgasbord of things over the years, but that's where I'm at right now. And I do currently hate my job, so if there's anybody else looking to hire...
Wait, you're supposed to sell them wine, dude.
Drop me a DM.
And if you need wine, hit up Steve. No. You need
that. They got to have a store.
Yeah.
Either way.
I'm an attorney.
I owned a restaurant for 5 years that I started, built, and sold. And that was kind of like the passion of mine for a while. But COVID was tough. So now I'm selling wine.
Booyah. Yeah. Echo everything people said already. I'm an attorney. It's fine.
All right, so this is a really long question, but I want to cut to the third paragraph. How did y'all find your playstyle and deck preference? Did you bail on a deck you loved because it was easier to get better results from a different deck? Is Sabine ECL a more difficult deck to pilot in the current meta? Basically, it's like, how do you find a playstyle is how I boil this down. And like, I think we've talked about it previously, but like, for me, this game is all about like, can I outvalue my opponents? And that's how I feel. That's when I feel best, I think. But sometimes, you know, it's really about, for me, how to attack a meta. And so sometimes that's attacking with yellow units and cunning. And sometimes it's outvaluing. And for me, I've tried to not marry a playstyle, and I've just tried to be really flexible and be able to pilot as many things well as I can.
I feel the same way.
Hmm?
Go ahead, Matty.
No, I'll do it quick. I feel the same way. Like, yeah, I'm like a big Kira boy, but like, earlier in the set, I thought Han Blue was insane. I still think it's good, but like, it was the right time to like play good units at a discount and then like hit people's hand with discard. Then I saw the meta getting grindy, so I moved over to Hondo a bit, which like I like that I have these things at my disposal, and then I employ the one that I want for a given tournament. So for me, with this game, it's really just keeping options open. And like, yeah, like I'm not the Sabine boy, because I actually think it's really hard to play, and I'm sure Justin will talk about that, but like I found within things that I like to do, like play for value, find exploits in the meta, like either attacking your hand or playing a ton to smuggle, and like that's kind of the route that I go to kind of find my wins.
Am I allowed to swear on here? Or are we not?
Yeah, the only thing you weren't allowed to do was mention the online gaming platforms, and you already did that, so you might as well just go free.
Maddie pointed that out. This is actually a really great question for me,
yeah, it's a
because my entire like card game career, I've always played aggressive decks. Like, I mean, even in I was a versus Star Wars, people joke around like Baroni Smash or whatever. And like, since I started this game, what the fuck am I doing with my Star Wars?
What are you doing?
I'm playing janky mid-range, well, not janky, but mid-range control decks and grinding out games to time. Like, I think I need to reevaluate my life right now.
Let's you get you a makeover.
Sabine. Yeah, you need the Sabine school. Like, go to Justin's Sabine school. I think that's the deck.
That ain't happening, bro.
Yeah, I had a dream last night that I was a teacher, and like, I had to co-teach, and the guy was teaching his math for me, and I was like, why am I even here? It's weird. I don't know. We maybe can edit that out too. I just like went entered another realm. I mean, I think a great question. I think for Matt, to answer the bottom thing, definitely hop in the Discord and jump into the Green Sabine deck thread. I think it's one of the best places for our community has, and there's a lot of conversation there. I think I like the aggressive side. I like putting people in stress positions. I do think that value obviously is like really important in card games, like drawing cards and Magic or whatever. In this game, you're able to play cards like Overwhelming Barrage, which are like 3-for-1-ing people, or you know, cards like Vader that come in another unit. So the value is important, but I do think there's something that often gets overlooked when like people discuss aggro is the fact that you actually just get to play more cards than the opponent potentially before the game's over. So like if I'm an aggro deck and I have one card in my hand and the control player has like 5 cards in their hand, it's like, okay, man, like that control player, look at how skilled they are. They've got all these cards, but the aggro player actually maneuvered a situation where like the cards that they have like all got played. So, and presumably those cards are doing good things for you. So, being empty-handed, I think, is actually something I sort of like to do in this game, for sure. It's hard to say in other games.
Yeah, I always think it's really funny when people are like, oh, you can't skill gap people with that deck. And I'm like, no, you can't skill gap people with that deck. Like, you're just not thinking about it the right way. And like, yeah, I struggle to skill gap people with Sabine, but that I don't think it's a deck thing. I think it's a me thing. So, yeah. All right. Do you have any suggestions how to... I wanted to talk about this one, because this is a wild way to put this question, but Yarn Solo, newcomer to the Discord, thanks for signing up and thanks for this question. How do you not get disqualified at a PQ for judge calls? I'm seeing and hearing a lot of you don't want to get a loss, but I'm curious in detailed notes, how detailed notes do I have to take for scoring? Because 1K is something I see PQ bringing out the worst in competition. That's not bringing out the worst in competition. This game is too casual for like what we're about to see, or at least like people are taking it too casually. You need to learn the rules. Like, there were so many people who were not replacing their smuggles. They were mixing up their hands and their resources yesterday. Like, I saw some really messy play, and I don't have any problem with that, like, in a local 1K. Like, that's not going to bother me. But, like, if you go to a PQ and you are not replacing your smuggles and you're with Han and all of a sudden you have, like, 9 resources and no hand, like, you're gonna get a game loss. Like, there's no doubt about it. And, like, the only thing you can do, and no one does this, I know they don't, read the rules. Learn the rules. That's the best thing you can do, because like I said, if I'm playing against you and you screw up 18 times in a local, like, I'm going to help you. I'm like, I made sure this guy put his Boba in his discard pile against me yesterday. I was like, you got to put that out. You just missed a Boba trigger. Go back, do this. Like, that's not going to happen with everyone. And as PQs come out, that's going to happen less. And that's not the worst in people. That's just people wanting to play by the rules.
I think the other side of that is like, don't be paranoid that you're going to mess up. Like, these things aren't super, like, yes, people need to tighten up, but you're not going to like accidentally mess up and all of a sudden just get disqualified from the tournament.
Yeah.
You know, this would have people who get disqualified from tournaments are doing like long standing stuff, or they're cheating, which they should be disqualified at that point. But like, I don't think I can ever think about a time where like, I just felt like I had completely, like, almost, I played so many different games at really high levels where like, oh man, like I just made a mistake and I got disqualified. You know what I mean? Like there was a time I got a game loss in Magic when I shuffled something when the card said to put 3 cards in the bottom and I shuffled and I called the judge. I said, hey, I did this wrong. And then, you know, I did that with another card in a very similar fashion. I got a game loss and I had only to blame myself.
I don't even think you would in this game, by the way.
Yeah, I don't think you would. And this was, I think that was at competitive level. It wasn't,
yeah.
You know, unless you're on like professional
Ariel and Magic, where like they really, you know, they need you to know the rules, and if you manipulate them in any way, you're getting a game loss and probably ejected from the tournament. You don't have to worry about this stuff accidentally happening. But to Mike's point, you should tighten up. It is kind of like a courtesy thing too. Like if you're messing up and you're kind of like bumbling all over the place, it's not a fun experience for the opponent to have to always navigate.
It's stressful.
So like, I think sort of the messaging here, it feels like, hey, don't be paranoid to play. Like you should get out there and play, talk to the judge and be like, hey, if there's any comes up, like bring the judges over. That there's been that every so often you've heard like, oh, don't tell the judge this. No, always talk to the judges.
Yep.
Always make sure they're in the mix. Don't be afraid to play. If anything weird starts happening, raise a hand and say, hey, I don't know which one is my hand and which one's my resource row. Like, I don't know. And I need to call a judge and they can help fix it and unwind some things. And then just, start shuffling in real life and play more and you'll probably get better at it too.
Yeah. So yeah. This question is like really good for like the video I just put out on my personal channel of the tournament guide. Like, one thing that I did at Gen Con and I do in every competitive match is I have like a check-in with my opponent. I say like, after introducing myself, I say like, this is the token that I'm going to use for on top of my hand. Can you like, do you have one? Can you pick one right now? So like, I'm almost like kind of like setting the stage for either one, if they disagree with me, to get it out in the beginning and get a judge involved and make sure everyone's playing kind of tighter. And then two, just kind of remind them like, oh yeah, hey, I didn't pick one. Like, I'll use this token. That's a good idea. Like, I had people be like, that's a good idea, even though in the player meeting, it was like, you have to do this. So, like, doing that little right. I would, not to pimp my own video, but, like, go check my tournament guide out. It's me doing the crane as Johnny LaRusso. But, like, I think checking in with your opponent at the start is like, just the best way to do it. Like,
LaRusso.
Daniel LaRusso. Yeah, I know. I said John. Yeah. Daniel LaRusso.
The only thing I'll add is double check your deck list. That's probably the easiest way to get a game loss or DQ'd, by just a straight up mistake. And like, better yet, if you have a friend, have them double check your deck.
Great call.
Yeah, nice. Steve, where were you at the 1K I got DQ'd from? I needed you, buddy.
Seriously.
Shuffle and cut your opponent's deck always, no matter how nice they are, and say, where are you from? Always shuffle and cut.
Yeah.
All right. I was going to do one more, but I really got to go.
I got to go too.
So we, another great pod. We'll push the other questions to next time, but we'll be back in 2 weeks talking about the first 2 weeks of PQs. If you really want to be involved in everything that's going on, you should really check out the Discord. It's only $5. You try it for 1 month. This is the month to do it. Like PQs, you're going to see all the results. People are going to be posting lists. We're going to be all prepping together. It's going to be a wild time. OP, it's here. I'm excited.
Let's get it.
All right.